Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
Hey everybody, I'm Chad Wesley Smith. Welcome to another episode of the Jug Life Podcast. I'm joined as always by...
Mountainous?
Well, it could be mountainous Max Montana. We are in the mountains.
I feel like this is another fat joke now. we're just piling them on. And I'm the one that brought it on myself right there. How are you guys doing?
You're kind of fishing for... Oh, no, Max, you don't look fat.
Yeah. You're not really fat.
Yeah. And our special guest today, Team Juggernaut weightlifter, 48-kilo national champ, Miss Alyssa Ritchie. How are you doing, Liz?
I am super good and super excited to be on this podcast. Woo!
All right. Well, today's podcast is brought to you by Kodiak Cakes and Clean and Jerk Makes. Not just a lifestyle, but that is specifically Alyssa Ritchie's lifestyle. If you follow her on Instagram, you know that she eats the hell out of some Kodiak Cakes, like three times a day. And I guess it's pretty good, the Clean and Jerk as well, being... What was it, the fifth or sixth U.S. woman ever?
Fifth
U.S. woman ever to clean and jerk double body weight, which has happened on a few occasions now. So I'll toot your horn for you a bit before we begin, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of these along the way. But if you're not familiar with Alyssa, as I mentioned, she was the 48-kilo national champ at the 2017 USAW Nationals, the bronze medalist in the total at Pan Am Games. Silver medalist in the clean and jerk?
Snatch.
Yeah, silver medalist in the snatch at Pan Am's, her first international competition. Been weightlifting for several years, but exclusively weightlifting just this last year. So kind of kicked that off at the 2016 AO, where she was the runner-up. As we mentioned, the fifth U.S. woman ever in the history of U.S. women trying to lift things above their head to clean and jerk double her body weight, has been an extremely accomplished CrossFit competitor. How many times did you go to regionals?
Four times.
And
five times.
Five-time regional competitor as an individual. I don't want to bring up any painful memories, but fourth place in 2015? 2014 regionals?
2015 regionals, fourth place.
Yeah, by one point, it was
drastic.
But very, very successful CrossFit competitor. And then as of recording this, based out of Fort Collins, Colorado, but headed back home to Toledo, Ohio pretty soon.
Yes, headed back to Toledo.
What do you do for work anyways?
I work at a coffee shop, at a really cool one. And I love it. It's just easy, friendly, and I get to go in there and hang out with people all day.
So. You were working at a hospital as well before that?
Yeah, I was working at the hospital with the registration. I quit it because I hated it.
And
it was boring.
More time for
Definitely.
Kodiak cakes and clean and jerk makes?
Yeah, duh. I mean, all the Kodiak cakes. I'd pack them and just eat tons of them.
Kodiak cakes, if you guys are, if you're listening, we're right down the street from them apparently. So maybe tomorrow.
The actual headquarters?
Yeah, they're based in Park City.
Well, why are we not there now doing the podcast in front of it with Alyssa?
Eating Kodiak cakes.
Alyssa makes a lot of Kodiak cakes.
Yeah, they're delicious. I never had one before yesterday. But so that's a little bit about Alyssa. And if you can't, I know we've been changing settings on you guys a lot lately. We've been in that haunted mansion hotel in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
We've been... playing the piano in Orlando, and now we're in Park City, Utah, at a Team Juggernaut training camp for our weightlifters. So it's been a good time out here. We've got the heavy day tomorrow, so hopefully we'll have some good footage of Alyssa to add to that. But I know you have a pretty varied and extensive athletic history, so kind of take us through that and how we've arrived here at weightlifting.
Okay, so yeah, when I was younger, like age 9 to 12, I was a gymnast. And then once I quit gymnastics, I became a track and field athlete in high school and junior high and did really, really well.
What events did you do?
I did the 100 hurdles, the 300 hurdles, the long jump and the 4x100 team relay.
So high hurdle, where's that come up to on you?
My belly button, okay? Okay, fine.
300 hurdle maybe comes to your belly button. I know the 100 hurdles are higher than that.
About here. And it was about here.
You're what, 4?
4'10 and a half.
And a half. The half is very... If you know anyone who's really short, like a legal midget sized person, they're very particular about these halves, quarters, maybe even an eighth of an inch. Are you sure? Maybe 4'10 and 5/8?
I don't know if that's the correct terminology.
It's 4'10 and a half, you two.
I don't know if midget is correct.
It's not midget.
I feel like you may have to invoke some kind
of... I'm sorry. How much do you clean and jerk?
I'm just saying. I think it's small person or little people.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not a...
Legally,
I'm
little... Well, we don't want... The YouTube comment's going to blow up. I can tell already.
It's 4'10 and a half. So, yeah. I mean, the hurdle was basically over your head. But, so...
You just go under them?
Long hurdles.
No. Sometimes.
High hurdles. 4x1. Long jump, you said, too?
Yeah, long jump. Yeah, I would do... I went to state twice. Actually, I started weightlifting to get better at track and field. My old coach introduced me to it and said, do you want to get better? And I said, sure. And then the guy was that trained me for, like, weight training, he was like, you should definitely start another sport. And I was like, what is it? And he's like, weightlifting. And I was like, oh, that's for boys, man.
And was that the, since you were trying to get better at track and you're a long jumper, is that how you developed your original snatch technique where you would jump forward like 3 feet? It was a high transfer of training.
That's false. I never jumped. Oh, man. No. So I started weight training and became really good at weightlifting while in track and field. But the whole main point of weight training was to get better at track and field. So I did it, got really good, made the state twice in the 100 hurdles, podiumed fourth. I got fourth place because five podium at state. And I got fourth place in the 300 hurdles, eighth place in the 100 hurdles, sixth place in the long jump, fourth place in the long jump. And this is over my junior, senior year of high school.
You're growing up in Ohio.
Yeah, I grew up in Ohio on a farm.
You're doing, do you think that your farm, growing up on the farm and doing all that kind of manual labor helped you be so strong now?
I mean, yeah, I was cleaning, jerking hay bales my whole life. My dad would be like, hey, Les, come over here, clean and jerk this straw bale for me. And I was like,
hopefully your dad doesn't watch this episode. I don't think I've ever met him, by the way. Is that an accurate impression?
I feel like he speaks like that.
How many cows can you lift?
10.
10 cows?
10 cows? Yeah, 10 baby cows.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that
equals. Set of 10 or 10 all at once?
10 all at once. I stack them. Stack them on each other.
Alyssa Ritchie.
So you went on from this medaling at state, and you did track in college for a little bit as well, yes?
Yeah, I did track in college for about a year, and I realized I just didn't really want to do it anymore. I wanted to kind of move on and do, I don't know, just spend time with my family. Literally, that's the only reason I didn't want to do it. It became like a job versus something I wanted to do for fun, and I didn't want to become like that. I wanted to be something fun. So that's kind of how I got into the college athletics. But other than that, I did college and then weight trained all the time, but nothing like clean and jerk and snatching.
So from the end of track in college, you just did it your freshman year?
Yes. So I did it my freshman year and that's it.
And then how did you come about to CrossFit from that?
Oh, funny story. So in college, I was kind of a nutbag, which is nothing new today. And I would always do.
I used to kind of be a nutbag. I still am, but I used to be too.
One time, every time. That's right. Actually, no. So this guy came up to me after I was doing handstand pushups on the wall. And this is just, I didn't know CrossFit. I had no idea what it was. So this guy basically walked up to me. He's like, have you ever done CrossFit? And I was like, what? And he's like, CrossFit, it's like a mud run. And I was like, it's like a mud run. No, I would never do that. I don't run. And so from there on out, I had a ton of people asking me what I do because I would always do like box jumps and free weight squats and benching and deadlifting, like just not the machines. I never did the machines. I always did like the free weights. And I was the only girl in there lifting like 135 pound back squats for like eights at a body weight of like 100. Because back in college, I weighed about 100, 105 pounds. And I didn't have all the muscle. So I went to, you know, I worked at a restaurant.
And were you like handstand walking around campus?
Actually, yeah.
And quick side note, after hearing your impression of your dad and of this random CrossFit guy, I never want to hear either of your impressions of me or Max, because
that's true. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's the exact same as this guy. Yeah. Like every guy,
I can tell already an impression of me is going to involve the word fat somewhere in there, just right off the bat.
Fat Max.
So we'll just avoid that. I'll just throw myself under the bus right now.
Are you self-conscious about yourself right now?
No, no, not at all.
Are you sure?
Not at all.
Look at his veiny arms.
It's become this joke this whole trip.
From veiny arms?
From that curl, you know, that curl extravaganza had going on earlier.
I did murder the curl bar earlier today.
Yeah.
You're all privy to that.
Sure you don't want
to
demonstrate for
you
them?
You safe sported the hell out of that curl bar.
Oh, thank you.
So how long was it before you found CrossFit from the end of track?
Oh, shoot. A year, I think.
Okay.
A half year. Yeah, a year, a half.
And people were like, this girl is just parkouring, box jumping, and handstand walking and push-upping all across campus. Like, we gotta focus this energy somehow.
Yeah. Actually, that's so true, because if I don't work out, I don't sleep. I'm so hyperactive that working out actually calms me down, takes me down to from this level to, like, all the way down to the bottom of this the first floor of this house. Uh-huh. So, yeah. So
you're at a 10. We need you at a 2.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's
from a
movie, I think. I just don't know which one.
Yeah. Alyssa Ritchie, Chad was talking about this earlier. Alyssa Ritchie from Power by Wario days versus Alyssa Ritchie.
We'll get more into your first meetings with Max. But so how old were you when you started CrossFit?
Gosh, how old was I? 23? Because I did it 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. No, I did it when I was 24, I think. All right. 24, 23.
So you go and you go to regionals, and this is all awesome and stuff, and now you're a weightlifter. So I know this is your favorite podcast question because no one's ever asked you before, but what made you want to switch from CrossFit to weightlifting?
I always like to be honest about this one. I don't ever like to hide anything, but CrossFit destroyed me. And I love CrossFit. I really, truly do. But being my size, and I never, ever take my size into account when I was there. I never use it as an excuse because it isn't an excuse. But I was just tired. I overtrained. I didn't have the proper nutrition like I do now. Just things were just too long. I was in the gym from like, 8 in the morning to like 1 some days, like 5 to 6 hours in the gym, 6 days a week, sometimes not even resting, sometimes going a seventh, and just pushing my means to know, like there was just no end to it, I felt. I was always just training, 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 and I didn't have a lot of time to rest. So I guess that's kind of like why I made the switch was after the grid league, I came back and I was just like, you know, I need a break. All I wanted to do was take a break. And then I called you and you said to me, this is what he said to me. I said, hey, can I work with that Max Anita guy for strength training? Because I need to get strong because I'm not strong. And he goes, yeah, well, why don't you do weightlifting? And I said, that's not the point of the call, Chad. The point of the call was just to get strong, not to be in another sport.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, though, by the way. So I had to lose 8 million pounds and then become a 48-kilo weightlifter, and now I'm successful. So the switch was perfect. I think I would have done it exactly like that, and I thank you for helping me out.
No problem. So we're going to take a quick break for a Strength History Minute. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Alyssa about that giant weight cut that she just mentioned and how she's adjusted to the RP diet life. Robin Goad is a pioneer for weightlifting for women across the world and especially in the United States. She competed in the first Women's World Weightlifting Championships in 1987 as just a 17-year-old. She's also the world champion in the 50 kilo class in 94 and won bronze at Worlds in the 53s in 1998. She's a 10-time U.S. national champion, with her career ranging from her first championship in 1988 all the way to her last championship in 2001. She was the U.S. record holder from 86 to 92 in the snatch, clean and jerk, and the total, as well as a 1999 Pan Am champion. Goad competed in the Olympics in 2000, the first year that women's weightlifting was included in the modern Olympics. All right, so we are back from the Strength History Minute, joined by our guest today, 48-kilo national champion weightlifter, Alyssa Ritchie. And if you're not familiar with weightlifting, 48 kilos is the smallest. It's the smallest weight class. And if you've followed Juggernaut or Alyssa for a while, you may know, you know, you could harken back a few years and may have seen, around CrossFit Regionals time, a lot of hashtag powered by Oreos. And this very, very small woman just plowing rows of Oreos to get her going for some handstand walks. But, and if you see now, especially around weightlifting meet time, it's just abs on abs with veins and she's shredded. And you're like the RP, poster girl.
This guy over here.
Tell us about the, starting that RP diet and everything that cutting down to the 48 kilo class has entailed for you.
All right. So this is a cool little story because I'm very proud of this. This is probably one of my proudest moments in my life, to be quite honest, getting my nutrition under control. When I first did RP, which was even before I became a weightlifter, I failed and it was hard. I didn't know what I was doing and I tried it again when I started weightlifting and to cut to the 48 kilo weight class for the American Open. I thought, I didn't really have time to think, actually. I called Chad and literally the next day I called Nick and I was like, hey, I want to cut down to the 48 kilo weight class. So what can I do to get started? And he goes, you literally can't have any cheat meals. Thanksgiving, out. Cheat meals, out. Oreos, get rid of them.
And when was this? This was September of last year? Right?
This was end of September. Like it was around September 20.
And how much did you weigh?
I was 55 kilos, so I was about 121 pounds.
So 55 kilos, that's 7 kilos difference. So that's like 16% of her body weight that she was going to need to cut to make weight at the American Open.
Yeah. So I just went through and, when I talked to Nick, I was just like, okay, I can do this. I want to do this. And there's a purpose for me to do this. So let's go. I had no hesitation for the first time ever. And that's when I knew actually right away I was going to do this. So I started writing down my weight. Every 3 days I would write down my weight, how much I lost. And I lost an easy, I kind of lost very, not fast, but it was very easy the first, obviously, month. That's, usually the easiest time to lose weight.
So I've heard.
Yeah, exactly. You guys know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So I just lost probably like my first 5 pounds in the first 2.5 weeks. And then I went over to November and I remember Thanksgiving coming and being right around the corner. And I actually had to work, so I was pumped. I was like, yes, I had to work, no food. And I walked into the break room, and those son of a guns, there's a whole turkey dinner. A whole turkey dinner. And I was like,
and this would have been two sweating. Weeks out, probably? 2 weeks out from?
Yeah, it's actually 2 weeks out. So I walked in there, and of course, the Life Flight crew is in there. And I'm in the corner, literally standing in the corner, eating my turkey burger with veggies. And I couldn't have any carbs because I was on cut 3 at the time. So it wasn't the time to have much carbs.
I mean, you go past cut 3, though. You're on the special Alyssa Ritchie cut 4 or cut 5 or something at that point.
Yeah. But cut 4, nobody wants to know what cut 4 is, okay? This is between Max and I. Because people might think we're a little crazy. No.
That's where Alyssa gets a grape with no skin and a thimble of milk.
Yeah, in a pancake that's this big. And then
a silver dollar pancake is an actual pancake the size of a silver dollar.
She just heats up a silver dollar and cooks it on there.
Puts it in her pocket. Like, oh.
Yeah, like Napoleon Dynamite with tater tots. Oh, I saved it for later. Pull it out. But yeah, that doesn't happen either. So then I got to the final weigh-in for American Open. And I don't know, when I stepped on that scale, it was kind of the coolest little most magical moment. And I know it sounds silly, but to me, this is pretty awesome. Big accomplishment. I stepped on the scale and I weighed 48.97, I think I was.
47.97.
47 point, thank you. 47.97.
The diet brain gets
oh, geez. Yeah, right yeah. Now the diet's going on. So, yeah, I weighed that and it was pretty incredible because I made weight and I got off the scale and I actually cried a little bit and then I ate.
If you would have cried before you weighed in, it would have made the weight cut easier.
Oh,
tears.
What liquid did you even have in your body? You just probably cried dust.
Just floated out in powder.
Okay.
It is very cool to hear that that was such a proud moment to make weight.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a story of like, oh, you were like 300 pounds overweight and you lost all this weight. It's kind of an interesting, yeah, that's because the discipline it took. Considering where you started with Powered by Oreos was sort of the free for all, to make that dramatic of a change and then just follow through all the way is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, we didn't, my sister's going to hate me for saying this. She'll never listen to the podcast, so it's okay. But growing up, we never ate, like, we didn't know balance. We didn't know, like, veggies, meat, fats in our carbs. You know, we just knew pasta. Butter or margarine, whatever one's worse. Margarine's definitely worse. So margarine, pasta, lots and lots of red sauce, lots of burgers, hot dogs, SpaghettiOs,
sounds cereal. So good right now.
I know, it's great. It really is. But I kind of knew that lifestyle. And once I kind of changed it and figured out what was right for me and what worked for me, that's when it became a lot easier. I started progressing in a good way.
And as Max started talking about it, I mean, it's been a pretty amazing thing for me. I think I've known you since 2014. And it really seemed that when you started the cut to 48 and when you committed to being a weightlifter, just this whole shift of maturity and focus and discipline. And maybe since you just don't get to eat much now, you're just more tired, so you don't seem as all over the place. But,
funny you say that. Yeah.
But yeah, just this a really impressive maturation as an athlete. I think that's helped you be so successful.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, I don't even know what to say honestly, because I guess with growing older, you get more mature, and my family is just so high strung that we're just such a hyper family. And I think the one thing that I see as an athlete, weightlifting has taught me a lot more than just, go out, lift weights and be cool. But it's more like focus, determination, hard work. There's progression. You can get good if you work towards a certain goal versus just go and throw weights around. It's different. And yeah, my athletic mind is definitely more mature than it was in 2014, especially with diet and especially with training.
So as we look back at 2014 and we have your coach sitting here with you, that was your guys' first meeting as well.
Yeah.
So we're in Washington, D.C. for the American Open. And Alyssa's coming along. And at this point, Alyssa, weightlifting meets for you were just like, this is, I'm just doing a weightlifting meet this weekend. This is like, just another kind of side.
Literally like another CrossFit.
From CrossFit. And you train in pounds and you don't have a coach and it's all over the place. We know that you're very talented, but it was just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm here to do a weightlifting meet. And he had, like I said, had no coach, and I'm not a weightlifting coach. I'm not going in the back and counting. So,
walks up to me.
Yeah. Well, particularly because at this point, I hadn't been to that many weightlifting meets myself either. Oh, yeah. And I knew Max and Joanne from powerlifting. So I'd be at the weightlifting meets, and I was like, oh, there's the powerlifters that I know. They're the only people here that I can talk to. So, so I go up to Max and ask him, like, hey, can you coach this girl? And they talk for a little bit, and oh, what are your openers? And Alyssa's like 160 pounds, and saying everything in pounds, like a total noob.
Whatevs.
Yeah.
Well, Chen prefaces the meeting with Alyssa as, well, I asked him, like, does she know when she weighs in? And Alyssa's like, yeah, she knows. Like, she's good. I mean, she doesn't know pounds or kilos. She doesn't know kilos. Just put it on the bar. She'll make it. Yeah. And
well, I did tell him that. I said, she doesn't know kilos, but she's really tough.
Yeah.
So anything you put on the bar, she's going to try and lift it.
So I remember warming you up. This is 53-kilo session, warming her up. And you hadn't done anything overhead. You had like a shoulder injury or something. So you hadn't done anything overhead for like months.
Yeah.
And I remember watching you do some snatches. And I just asked. I really was like, well, I've never worked with this person. So you have to be like careful. And like, you're not going to teach him how to lift there. You just have to like, you know, just asking her like, so does that feel like pretty normal? Does that feels like okay? And Alyssa comes out full Alyssa. Oh, it feels great. I feel so strong right now. It feels awesome. And I was kind of caught off guard, like, okay, all right, well, let's see what goes here. And very, very interesting interaction at first. But everything we put on the bar, you just went for it. Just completely, almost a reckless abandon for the health of your body.
Exactly.
I'll just jump under this weight that could kill me, and I almost make it. And you actually made silver in the snatch?
Silver in the snatch.
And a bronze total?
I think a bronze total. I'm pretty sure it was two medals.
Yeah, you may even made a PR clean and jerk or tied it.
I PR'd clean and jerk. No, I PR'd it.
PR'd 93, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Extremely impressive, right? I mean, I thought it was like to see someone have not even done lifting overhead for a few months to just come to a meet and go ahead and do it. And with the mindset too of just like, oh, I'll just make it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Easy. Well. I was thinking about this too the other day is that if you had come into the sport in like 2006, those numbers in that weight class would have been like mind blowing to a lot of people. To someone who just walked in and did it.
Yeah, so I think at that meet, right? you did 74.93.
Yeah,
so 167 total, something like that.
Yeah.
Because then at the Arnold, a couple months later, you did 170.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
It's, you know, to see that, like, you were like right on the cusp of all this talent, but then obviously now you're far, far ahead of that. But it's kind of interesting to see where that kind of natural ability and what you'd come in with, just with your fitness levels and your athleticism, no real training to do those numbers.
And the fearlessness. I think
that's
like a special quality of great weightlifters that, yeah, you can't measure it. You can see how much someone squats or, you know, how high they can jump and that kind of thing. But you can't measure someone's reckless abandon, you know, to dive under the bar. And that's something that you have great. But with your coach here, we'll see if he can make you blush at all. What are you, some things that you think makes Alyssa so successful that she does really well?
I mean, mindset is the first, for sure. You just have that. I mean, what Chad just said is like, without a doubt, the most. When some lifters go up to attempt a weight, there's a lot of like hesitation where you're wondering, is this person going to like, okay, what's going to happen mentally? With you, there's always a confidence that when you go out there, that it's either, if you physically can do it, it's going to happen. And I know because you have all the mental pieces put together from a courage standpoint. The other thing is just you're completely insane in the fact that it doesn't seem like new situations ever, nothing rattles you, right? It's not just confidence. It's just like training, this, that, the other, whatever. You just have no ego about it. You just walk in and make things happen for yourself. That's definitely like the one thing the big thing there stands out. The other physically is I have never seen anybody who is as capable in the jerk as you. Probably in most of weightlifting, in most of at least U.S. lifting. I can't think of anyone who has as much potential in the jerk as you do, for sure. I mean,
age jerked 115 kilos from blocks.
Yeah.
You probably weighed about 51.5 or 52.
I was 51.2 there because that was when I was on cutting for nationals, I believe.
Yeah. And that was right before
Pan Ams.
And just a couple days ago, I did 110 for a double, which looked very, very easy.
And I'm low too right now as well. About 51.2, well, 51.5, 51.2, somewhere on there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, before Max sings too many of your praises, the you work as a remote athlete with Max. Yeah, this being in Utah this week is a pretty rare occasion that you receive in-person coaching.
Mm-hmm.
But you won the national championship. You won medals at Pan Ams. You know, you're in the top 10 to be on the world team. Doing it with remote coaching and training by yourself most of the time. What are some of the big challenges of this remote coaching and training by yourself? And what do you think are some of the things that have helped you be successful within it?
Kind of like Max said, the successfulness is just mind over matter pretty much. It's just, I don't really, in training, it's, I don't know, I just lift the weight. It literally, and I try not to think too much about what is on the bar versus I should just go up there and hit it. If I just have that mentality, just go up there and hit the weight, I'll make it every time. If I don't make it, there's always next week. That's probably the most successful thing about training alone too, because you can't, no one's there to motivate you to get into the gym. Nobody's there to motivate you to lift 85, 86, 80 kilos snatch. You're there alone in a gym and you have to somehow get the courage to walk up to that bar and crush that weight without any noise. So for me, I think in competition setting, would I want to make this in competition? Yes. So I need to make it now in practice. Therefore, I'll be confident Friday when I have to lift 80 kilos on the stage. I lifted it in practice, so what's different about lifting it on the stage? The difficult part is that there's nobody training with you and that there's nobody coaching you. You can't just, oh, I missed that snatch. Well, I missed that snatch. Why'd I miss that snatch? I don't know, because I missed it. So like Max isn't there standing next to me saying, oh, you missed that snatch because you were too far forward, or you moved, you know, you got on your toes too fast. You missed the second pull. You know, all those things that could go wrong. I missed the snatch because I missed it. I have to try to figure out what happened. But I love the remote coaching because I don't need somebody on top of me all the time giving me directions and telling me which way to go. And I think that's why I'm such a good competitor on stage, because I like being up on that stage. I think it's fun. Nothing about that stage scares me. Nothing. The lights, the judges, the people. I mean, the only thing that I want more is to see my training work. Like, that's why I do it, right? But I don't think the remote side of everything, it doesn't make you the athlete. You make yourself the athlete. You can be as good as you want to be, but you have to put in the work and the effort to be there. A program doesn't make you good. Yourself. You make yourself good mentally. Physically, the program obviously does help you out a lot. But with Max this week, it's awesome because now I can see and look and be like, oh, that's why I'm not making the snatcher. This is the drill that I need to work on more. Having Max here is just awesome. Like, that's, I don't take any of that to an advantage. I try to take that to an advantage, I guess, because I want him to, I'd be like, Max, watch me lift.
Yeah, you try and take advantage of Max.
Yes, hashtag pretty much.
Sport. Hashtag safe sport.
Sports safe.
Joe. No,
reversed.
Reverse safe sport. Do you think, that's something that I think is interesting, that sometimes people become not reliant on a coach, because that's not really the right word, but people become, they cripple themselves or they become handicapped by a belief that like every single thing needs to be analyzed by somebody, or I think it maybe like maybe slows down the development of an athlete, a lifter especially, where you have somebody literally correcting every single thing you do. You become dependent on that and you expect that, and you don't really take ownership of your own skill, your own training, your own your technique especially, is the ownership of, I need to know what I'm doing right and wrong, because it's not just the you know, in weightlifting, it seems, and I would say this is true, it's not that a coach and a program are the only thing that produces, or sorry, it's not that an athlete has a coach and that coach creates a perfect program and that's what works. Right. It's that an athlete has to be excellent at all things. They have to understand the training process. They have to understand how to lift. And a coach is somebody who does a great job of managing the process of going from point A to point B to point C, from this meet to that meet. You know, what is the direction of all these things, and managing that kind of bigger picture versus a coach turning into somebody who really just babysits a person and the athlete becomes dependent on them. And then it just becomes this thing where they have this expectation that, you know, their coach is going to measure out how much peanut butter to put on a banana every day and hand it to them, you know, and that's just what goes on. Yeah.
Precision peanut butter loading.
Yeah.
Protocol.
Yeah. PPPP.
I actually want you to do that for me next meet.
No problem.
Thank you.
All right. You spend one third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. And Casper Mattresses has provided all the support the human body needs in all the right places. Their breathable design helps you stay cool and regulates body temperature throughout the night. And their affordable prices are great because they cut out the middleman and sell directly to the consumer. I sleep on a Casper mattress myself every single night, except here in Utah, but when I'm at home, every single night. And it was really cool that this king-size mattress showed up in a box, like a box that Alyssa could fit in. And you could actually probably live in that thing. That'd be like a decent studio-size apartment for you.
As long as it's free.
But, yeah, so delivered right to your door in this small, it was sort of amazing, like how is this king-size mattress in this box, and you opened it and it just unfolded. But you get a 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial, so you can be sure of your purchase and make sure that you like the mattress with that. So start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase when you visit casper.com/juglife and use the code JUGLIFE at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that is $50 towards any mattress purchased at casper.com/juglife when you use the code JUGLIFE at checkout. And you could sleep on the same bed as me, but not actually the same one, the same type of bed as me. It would be much, much more expensive for that other idea.
It's costly.
Very.
It costs. It's not just financial expense. There's a lot of other stuff.
Emotional expense. Yeah,
distress.
So, Alyssa, as you look back, you know, in your early weightlifting career, your early athletic career, or other girls and women who are just getting into the sport, what is maybe some advice that you would give to 2014 Alyssa Ritchie, who doesn't know what kilos is, at, you know, in the back room at AO with Max, or just girls getting into the sport now?
Understand where you are in the process, understand who you are as an athlete, and understand what you are capable of. Because back then in 2014, I didn't understand the process. I didn't understand what I was capable of, and I didn't understand who I was as an athlete. Not to the fullest, but not like, you know, I understood a little bit. But to all the, like, all the girls out there, women out there that are trying to get to the top level, you have to first be at the bottom to understand what it takes to get to the top, because you're never going to get to the top until you know what it looks like at the bottom. Because I feel that it takes a lot to get to where us elite athletes are, and it's never something that is just easy and it happens overnight. It could happen over, I don't know, 3 months, 3 years, 10 years. Like, it just doesn't happen overnight, and everyone's got to stop thinking that it will. Also, like, with cutting weight, you have to know that you're ready. You have to know that if that's the position you need to be in. Do you need to be a 53 or do you need to be a 48? Weightlifting is a really tough technical sport, and I would advise you to work with somebody that understands weightlifting. Not that they have really cute Instagram photos or really cute, you know, or they're cool and they're popular, but like, look into your coach, find out who they are, figure out who you work well with on the platform and who you can, you know, whose programming works for you. If I would work with another coach that loaded my programming double days, 4 days a week, and trained me 7 days, No, it wouldn't happen. I would be falling apart. I'd be a mess. Max and me, we work 5 days a week, two rest days. We work about 2 hours, some days 3 hours. That's very rare a week, and it's done. And I feel good.
Are you insinuating that Max isn't cute?
Actually, I thought it was the opposite. I believe she was saying, I am cute, very popular on Instagram, and also a good coach. That's what I got from that.
Well, he does have more followers than me, so right now you need to follow me so I have more...
That's the booty pics.
Yeah, you know, I don't have any of those either.
I just repost Q and other people on there, so I'm getting them.
Well, question for both coach and athlete. So we have big meets coming up, but your goals going forward in weightlifting, what are some goals that you have for Alyssa and Alyssa that you have for yourself?
My goal for Alyssa is to reach, obviously, the highest potential she can, and I believe that that's international level competition, world championships. And then beyond that is, you know, time will tell. But I think that immediately is the worlds. We see what happens there. We do everything we can to get there. And then next year, Pan Ams, next year, worlds. And then again, after that, possibly Pan Am Games. And then, you know, obviously the Olympic trials are in 2020. So everything is geared around those major meets. I think that's what you can do. I know you can.
Thank you, Max. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's so nice of you. He's never this nice. kidding. But I think the goals for me, yeah, right? That was the question. Goals for me, yes. Right? Future competitions would just basically be, I don't know, I can't lie to myself and I can't lie to the camera. I want to be the best. I want to be the best 48. I want to break some records. I want to be standing on that podium at the Olympics. I want to be the next girl to gold for the United States. I want to be the next girl to bronze for the United States. I think that'd be insane. I mean, I didn't just start this sport just to start it. Well, kind of I did. But I like sports, and every time I get into something new, I want to put 100% effort into it. And I believe that the international competitions, this next one coming up, which is Worlds, I want to be on that team. I want to hit 85. I want to hit 105. I want to prove to those coaches that I'm supposed to be there. I want to, you know, I know I'm supposed to be there. Therefore, I want to show I'm supposed to be there. So any future competitions, I've got to start, you know, I got to start hitting these bigger numbers, which is fine. And I'm ready for it. So future competitions, bring them on. Let's do them and let's get there.
All right. And Alyssa, where can people follow you and learn more about you?
You can follow me on my Instagram account. It's AlyssaRitchie1. You could also follow me on Facebook. It's Alyssa Ritchie. I also just started a vlog from YouTube. Bear with me. I am still new, but they're pretty good. And that's Alyssa Ritchie. And yeah.
You have your own website too.
I do have my own website. It's my name. So AlyssaRitchie.com. I designed that myself. So I'm taking credit fully for it. And I also started vlogging and putting my videos together myself as well.
You can find me on Instagram, Max_Ado, or on Facebook. Or if you have any questions about the online or remote coaching through Juggernaut, you can check out juggernautcoaching.com.
The man's finally getting it down. That is juggernautcoaching.com. You could be training just like Alyssa does, under the guidance of Max. We have coaching for powerlifting, weightlifting, and super total through their multiple different levels to pretty much fit anyone's needs, including specialty programming for masters. Beyond that, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are always very proud of the content we put up there. If you like the podcast, go on to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Leave us a funny or good review, and maybe we'll read it on the air, like this guy, dropping bombs and making moms. Safe sport. Hashtag safe sport.
For sure on that one.
If you're looking to experience the podcasting equivalent of a deadlifting minotaur riding a grizzly bear into a space battle with Ed Cohen, dual-wielding RPG launchers, look no further than the Jug Life podcast. I've yet to listen to the masterful MAX and legendary Chad Wesley Smith put out anything less than standing ovation-worthy content. From a strength culture perspective, a technical perspective, and most importantly, a long-term perspective, shameless plug for JTS as a whole. That's him saying that, not me. That this person who's... I don't think that dropping bombs and making moms is his real name, but it says he's been a part of our club powerlifting for the last 6 months and have made the most rapid, solid gains of his life. Hashtag thick, solid, and tight. Far away and above what I could have done on my own. Biggest mistake I make is listening to the podcast after I lift and experiencing all the extreme motivation in the face of ice baths and soul-crushing soreness. This post is sponsored by the Justice League and CNS Fatigue. It's a lifestyle. So dropping bombs and making moms, thank you for the review. Send me an email, chat@jtsstrength.com, and I'll probably send you something for free. But yeah, you too could have your ridiculous review of our podcast read to dozens, if not hundreds, of people right here. So go on iTunes, leave us the 5-star review so more people who care about getting stronger can find us, and maybe we can teach them a thing or two about a thing or two as well. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm Chad Wesley Smith, at Chad Wesley Smith, and at Juggernaut Training on Facebook and Instagram, filling up your newsfeed all day. Thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.